thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Bole. What's going on, Will T?
Nothing's much, sir. How are you?
I am good, man. You know, we ain't talking about it. I'm boosting. My Hoyas won. Oh, it's not part of the show, but I'm boosting.
Huge win Saturday.
They needed that, man, because I was starting to be scared. I was scared for Pat, but, you know, every once in a while when people count him out,
This is the third year of Patrick Ewing, right? Mm-hmm. Got to give a college basketball coach at least 4 years, minimum.
No, I agree.
Got to let him get that first recruiting class through, get that senior class. Then I think you can start to, you know, assess, okay, what's the trajectory of him in our program.
Yeah, definitely. But it's a tough season, you know, all the suspensions and whatnot. But it does show that, you know, in terms of all the things he's going through, that he can coach. I mean, this is a tough situation for any coach.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm definitely riding for Pat. I'm not gonna say a former Knicks fan. Yeah. I still believe somewhat in the Knicks, but, you know, for me, the Knicks will always be
when
I fell in love with him, Patrick Ewing.
Of course, man. Ray Jeezy is out. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. The Washington Redskins releasing Josh Norman and Paul Richardson. Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus Redskins reporter Donna Hopkins will join the show. At 8:20, we'll discuss the rumor that the Skins are interested in ex-Redskins cornerback Bashar Breeland. At 8:30, the potential of Washington Wizards forward Davis Bertans and his performance in the NBA three-point contest. He was lights out. He's impressive, man. He's very impressive.
Well, I'll say this, and just regarding All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
Probably the best one in the last 10 years.
Probably since the one in D.C. That comeback with AI.
I'm just talking about the weekend.
The whole weekend. I agree. Not just the game.
The rookie versus sophomore game.
Skills competition, three-point dunk contest,
and an All-Star game.
Definitely, I agree.
Best one I've seen in a long time.
Totally agree.
Kudos to you, Adam Silver.
Yeah, definitely. At 8:40, we'll talk about the NBA All-Star festivities, what Will was referring to. Finally, at 8:50, we'll preview Fury Wilder 2 with Johnny Sieg from Leave It
in Big the Week. Ring. Big week.
From Leave It in the Ring Radio. But first, right now, we have Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus Redskins reporter Donna Hopkins on the line. Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus airs on Madison. What's up, Donna?
What's up, Wally?
What's going on?
It is never a dull moment with the Redskins.
Never, Donna. And we have Will here as well, Donna. Say hi to Will.
Hey, Will.
How you doing, Donna?
So
I'm pretty outstanding.
So Donna, I love to hear that. Donna's
always outstanding. Donna's always on it. All right. Last week, Donna, the Skins released cornerback Josh Norman and wide receiver Paul Richardson. Were you surprised with the releases of Norman and Richardson?
And no surprise at all. And I'm not for sure why anybody would have been surprised at those two guys. Because it came to a point where Josh Norman had already been benched during the course of the season for the last part of the season in favor of some of the younger guys who started to step up and play well as far as Jimmy Moreland. You know, he played up to par for the most part being a rookie, but I think he's got to find out some things about Jimmy. Jimmy is a person that everybody talked a lot about in training camp in Richmond. And he did some great things in even preseason games, but he was going to make some mistakes. He's a rookie. Look, the veterans make mistakes. The whole secondary was making a whole bunch of mistakes during the course of the year. But when you start seeing some changes after Gruden was gone, and then you know some of the changes from that point on, then you saw some signs of life in the secondary, and you know, mistakes were still made, but not as much as they were before. And some people are upset with the Josh Norman being let go, but the thing about it is the Redskins have to move on. You cannot be emotional attached to players who need to move on, and it's some other ones that they need to move on from also, but you think about Josh Norman, they were due to pay him over $12 million, which they're going to save that and bring in some other players. Now, to Josh Norman's defense, was it because he wasn't playing in a zone defense? Because that's more or less his strength, and they play more man-to-man. Mm-hmm. But is he just a player that at this stage, he's not the same player anymore? We saw signs of that not just this past year, but the last few years. Josh Norman, you know, production started to go down some. And I think it was time for the Redskins to move on from them. Now, you know, he says that, you know, when he finally started talking to the media again, that, you know, he believes in himself. He doesn't believe that he's lost anything. You know, when we get to a certain age and so forth, all of us think that we can still go out there and produce like we did in our early 20s and in our teens. Yeah. But it comes to a point that we're not the same person that we were in our younger days. Not saying that we cannot still play the game or anything, but we may not get the money and the time that we had before. And I think Josh Norman had got to that point, whether he wants to believe it or not. Now, he may face us as another team picks him up and plays him in a zone defense versus a man-to-man. We just don't know. But I think either way it goes, the Redskins had to release him because they have so many holes to fill, and they need that money to bring in some younger guys to start developing this team, you know, where they can, you know, jumpstart again, mm-hmm. jumpstart the engines again, because they cannot afford to hold on to the same old players where the production was not there, and holding on to them for, like I said, you can't be emotionally attached to players when you know that you need to revamp the team and move forward. And like I said, it's some other positions besides Josh Norman and Paul Richardson that they need to move on from also.
No, I mean, you're so right. You know, like back when I was younger, I thought I was the best jump shooter. I can block all the shots in the world. And I
still think
that,
I probably am.
You know,
I probably still think I still am. I can go out there and, you know, beat whomever. Yeah. But I know if I'm being realistic with myself, No, you're not.
I know. I learned that the hard way, Donna. So let's go to Paul Richardson, because it's funny because I remember going to camp and everybody was saying that Paul Richardson's, you know, he's going to surprise some folks. He's going to like show out, and it never came to pass. How come?
Injury. Mm-hmm. You know, the first year, not, you know, he was injured at the jump start. Mm-hmm. We didn't even get to see anything of Paul Richardson from the beginning. Now, I'm not for sure if I would have paid him that money anyway, because He really wasn't a big-time receiver in Seattle.
Yep.
So, year two, injured again, wasn't on the field enough. He missed 17 games in the last three seasons for the Washington Redskins. And this year, when he was somewhat healthy, he just wasn't productive. Some of the younger guys, Terry McLaurin, it's mighty funny that he got open and he was able to mm-hmm. produce and have a good year. And then you got some of the other ones as far as young Sims. He came in, and when they finally gave him a starting job and produced, and Harmon, and those guys, they produced. They mm-hmm. stayed on the field. They stayed healthy. Paul Richardson was never healthy to even, you know, get a glance of what he could possibly do for the Redskins. And when he did have a chance this year, he just didn't produce.
No, sure didn't.
And it was time for them to move on, you know, from him also, because these younger guys stepped in. Now, this is year number two for them, and, you know, everybody tries to figure out the guys. But I think that the Redskins found out that they've got a solid three playmakers that were hungry, and they didn't care about anybody else. They just wanted to go out and make plays. It wasn't about their names or anything like that mm-hmm. because nobody knew of them. But they produced, and they're the ones, those three guys I mentioned, made the noise in the, you know, for the wide receivers this past season. And Paul Richardson never did pan out because of injuries. And that's what the Redskins are looking. I know we're talking about Paul Richardson and Josh Norman, But it's some other guys that have not produced either. I mean, Dunbar, he wants to be traded.
Uh-oh.
So if he wants to be traded, then, you know, you move on. Then you got Trent Williams. Do you move on from him? It's time to move on from Trent Williams, Jordan Reed, and some of these other guys that you need to move on from, where you can start building this team to be a strong team again. If, like I said, you can't be emotional attached to guys that have not been able to get on the field and produce for you. That's wasting money. Do you like to waste money? I don't know if anybody likes to waste money.
Donna, you made a great point about emotional attachment to guys who aren't producing. From your opinion, do you think that's the end of the cuts to come before the free agency period starts, or do you think there are more cuts that need to be made on the roster?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Jordan Reed, like I said, it's time to move on from him. And I think it's a lot of tackles out there in the draft this year. It's time to move on from Trent Williams, because can you mend that relationship? And what does it say about the other players that you're trying to sign back, or other people coming in? Ron Rivera said something key when he came in. He said, if you don't want to play for us, we don't want guys here that don't want to play for us. You shouldn't have to bag a guy to play for you. I know Trent said it wasn't about money, part of it was about money. Bruce Allen is gone. But the thing about it is, maybe the culture, he talked about the culture of the team and everything. That is big right there. And and to me, sometimes you need a fresh start from some of the things that was happening with the old regime, because some of the old regime is still here. Then Ron Kerrigan, I mean, maybe it's time to release him and move on from him, because you want to get younger in that position also. So the running back position, do you keep it the way it is because it's been injuries there? Adrian Peterson has played well. He's produced here, but if you're looking at to bring it in somebody, Geist, is he going to be healthy enough to keep him here? And then you're like holding your breath, is he going to get hurt again? He's got all the talent in the world. You saw some of that in the Carolina game and the few times that we saw him on the field. He's got he's got it. That running back, he's explosive, but he can't stay on the field. I'm talking about injuries again. So that's an area that they may want to address, but it's the secondary that they've got to address also. Reuben Foster, we talked about him. Mm-hmm. It's a time to move on from him also. I think the Redskins, to me, I'm just saying, it's time to jumpstart the ship again and sail on out to new waters.
Dang. Cold-blooded, Donna. You're listening to the Urban Sports Team. We are chatting with Donna Hopkins from Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus. So you're all in on letting Trent go, because I'm like, they can mend the fences with Trent. Like, I'm kind of like, they're close. Like, Ron is close. Riverboat Ron is kind of close.
But the thing about with Trent, again, we talked about, see, the reason why I say that it's time probably to move on from Trent, because there's a lot of question marks surrounding Trent. Health-wise, let's just talk about that right there. Mm-hmm. Even before this past season, Trent played a lot under injuries when he was injured and also, but he was also off the field injured for the last 2 or 3 years of his career before last year. So you got to not look at just, last year, but you got to look at the last 3 or 4 years. Was he productive? Was he on the field? Was he injured? And not only that, with the question mark pertaining to the surgery he had, for the cancer scare, is that going to be a factor, on down the line this year, next year? Are you going, or is he going to be sidelined because of that, and you signed a big contract, with him again, that he may not even be able to get on the field for you, or maybe some things you don't know how it's going to be for him to get hit. This is a valid sport where you're getting hit all the time, and even with the protective helmet and all that. So I'm looking at not just what has happened with Trent, but I'm looking at the bigger picture of health. Are you going to be able to get on the field? Question marks pertaining to what this surgery meant as far as the cancer scare, and all those factors need to be addressed also. So I would be willing to move on and see what I could get from him. I don't think that the Redskins last year, when he didn't want to come back and play, I think you could have gotten a lot more from him then than you are now, but you could still get something that's going to be beneficial to you in building this team to be a contender again in the NFC East and just in the NFL in general.
Okay, Don.
Because it still has a lot of holes that needs to be filled. It's not going to be something that is a quick fix in 1 or 2 years, but you can really get started if you make smart decisions.
Donna, we
and like
talked
I said,
about,
you can't be emotional.
Donna, we talked about players that you know that we think need to be let go. Let's talk about a veteran who I think is unsigned, who they need to bring back just because of the lack of experience and depth at the position. That's Adrian Peterson. What do you think are his prospects for him coming back next year?
I think he's back. I think that the Redskins are going to sign him back. I also think that Brian Shirk is going to be another person that the Redskins sign back, which I think that they should, because this is a guy, even if everybody was talking about that he didn't have a great year last year, okay, he was coming back off of the injury, first year back off the injury, but I think that you've got a jewel right there in Shirk. I think you've got a hard worker. I think you've got somebody that comes to work every day, and he's one of those guys that you know he's going to do his job. And I think that next year, they probably put the tag on him.
Franchise.
But you don't want to lose Brian Scherf. Adrian Peterson, he's not an every down back. You know, you saw during the course of the end of the season that he may have been wore down a little bit. But I think that you bring Adrian Peterson back because I think that he'll be able to produce for this team still, and I think that his work ethics are something that the Redskins need also. I would bring him back. And I think that more than likely, the rumors that I've heard and everything, that he'll probably be a Redskins come next year.
That's great news. Hey, Donna, before I let you go, when can our listeners catch the show on Masson? I want to make sure you're
correct.
Well,
you know what? We're going to do a draft show.
Ooh.
You know what? I've got – let me tell you this.
Right.
I've got the one person that is so – I mean, you're talking about knows everything about college football as far as the top people that you should be looking for. And he's a big Redskins fan, and he breaks down the board for me.
Mm-hmm.
He makes me smart when I come and go up against Tony and Gary and Mike, who, you know, is just rambling and whatever. But I got the hot news and the scoop and all of that he's my go-to guy. And let me tell you, everybody that I said and talked about on the draft day with Tony and the gang, it's some of the guys that the Redskins have gotten, or some of the guys that other people have gotten. He says, see, I told you we should have gotten them. So, you know, check us out. I'll be posting it and everything of, you know, our draft show coming up, where I'll be the smart one on the panel.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Hey, Donna, thank you. You know, I appreciate you.
No, it's great. Great talking to you all.
All right. Have a blessed one, Donna.
Have a good one, Donna.
All right. Skins got a lot. Yeah. I'm going to catch that, the draft show. I mean, I'm Chase Young, right?
you never know, man. Someone may blow them away with a trade.
Yeah.
You know, Tua Tagovailoa.
I mean,
Tua,
I'll say
Tua,
this
if Tua gets healthy.
I think Tua's the quarterback in the draft.
If Tua gets healthy and Justin Herbert shows that he's a worthy quarterback, you never know.
I think he's better than Burrow, too. I think, you know, playing with LSU makes you look a little – you know, we all know LSU has a bunch of talent. We know that.
It does.
Those wide receivers are first-round great wide receivers.
Absolutely.
So it is what it is. All right. Could Breland come back to the Skins? We'll discuss this after the break. You listen to Urban Sports Saying.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Team with Will T, myself, Wole. Ray Jeezy is out. It's been reported that Ron Rivera and the Redskins are interested in bringing in former Skins cornerback Bashar Breeland back to the D.C. area. Would this be a good move for the Skins?
I mean, considering the lack of talent in the cornerback position.
Depth, too.
And depth. It wouldn't be a bad, you know, it wouldn't be a bad move. Mm-hmm. You know, you've made worse moves. You know, he's a guy who's on the younger side. You know,
he's still young.
He's still relatively young. Mm-hmm. Friend of the show.
Yeah, he's been on the show before.
He's been on the show before. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a good move. You know, that maybe that 1 year in Kansas City and that culture helped. You know, because there were reports of, you know, whether true or not, of how can I put it?
With him?
Yeah. Certain behaviors that weren't conducive to being a professional.
Yeah.
So maybe that 1 year in Kansas City, winning a championship, being around.
He was with the Packers, too. He was with the Packers.
And being with the Packers, you know, but being around Andy Reid, a lot of guys rave about being coached by Andy Reid, mm-hmm. being in his program. Maybe that helps him. You know, he comes back with a championship ring and a new perspective.
Yeah, I mean, Bashar Breeland and this over here, you know, I hate to like judge players here because you're coached differently. The coaching staff here defensively, for lack of a better term, they weren't the best, right? They just weren't the best defensive coaching staff. And you see what happened with Preston Smith and Green Bay's, you know, having a career year. Bashar Breeland, since he left here, Green Bay, he looked good before the injury. And then Kansas City, he's probably was their best cornerback in Kansas City, leading them to a Super Bowl, helping them win a Super Bowl championship and being productive in the Super Bowl, right? So having him would be good. I'm more on the side of saying they wouldn't need to bring Bashar, as much as I do like Bashar, and you know I like Bashar, you know I do. But I like what I saw from him, and I'm like the minority. I'm cool with that. I think it's a lot of times people like rush the gun and trying to spend money, right? But there's sometimes when you put individuals in their right slot, like they put Moreau in his right slot. He was playing nickel. Then all of a sudden they moved him outside because they benched Josh Norman. He ended up getting like 4 picks, right? You put him outside. Same for Dunbar has always been productive. I get the argument.
Dunbar said he wants out of here.
Well, he changed his mind.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he kind of changed his mind. He said that he didn't say it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he talked to him. He said he didn't say it. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe it was a false report.
Oh, no. He was on Twitter. He was on social media.
Oh, okay.
Somebody, in my opinion, my guess.
He got hacked.
Not that. Somebody talked to him. They was like, hey, bruh, you ain't in a position of power to be talking like that. Like, the bag you want, you got to be available. Like, same thing we talk about Jordan Reed, right? If you get hurt, mm-hmm. and you're hurt all the time. Like, Dunbar's hurt all the time. His play on the field is night is good. It's quality play. But if you're not available, how can you ask for the bag? You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
So, I think somebody talked to him. But I think if you're the Skins and you're looking for depth, you can go for a cheaper route. I wouldn't go with the Bree option because you're going. That means to me you're still some missing young talent. I think Fabian Moreau was a guy that to me showed a lot of promise.
Well, let me ask you this: do you think, you know, Ron Rivera's been on the job
yeah.
what, 2 months?
Yeah.
Do you think he's starting to go through? He's probably broken down the tape and seen. And has made a determination of what guys will work.
Agreed.
With the program he's trying to build and what guys won't work.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe he's looked at that cornerback position and said,
It's possible.
A little iffy here.
No, no.
Iffy.
And he knows more than I. You know, like, that's the thing. Like, a lot of fans are like,
does he really know you more than you?
Oh, yeah, he does. Come on now. He's an NFL coach. You know what I mean? I'm not going to, like, and he's a guy who's had success. A lot of success in this league with the defensive side, on the defensive,
okay,
coaching the defensive side of the ball.
Okay,
you know what
I'll
I mean?
Say coaching the
coaching
defensive
defense side of the ball. So I'm not going to knock him for assessing if, you know, if he feels that Fabian Moreau is good, or he feels that maybe Bashar Breeland or Bradbury for, you know, who he coached up in Carolina is better than any of these guys. So, or even Slay, who's now out there in terms of trade rumors for Detroit, the cornerback for the Detroit Lions. So, but yeah, I'm like, to me, still utilize your young guys, man. Dunbar has been productive when he's on the field. Same for Fabian Moreau. But I get the argument that, you know, you got to be available. If you guys are, those two guys are injury prone, so you may want to help a guy who's shown the track record that who can play most of the season. You know what I mean? Like 14, 15 games. I'm not going to say 16 games because it's tough to finish out, like play every game in the NFL. You know?
16, maybe 17 games.
Yeah, the way things are going. Yeah. Real talk. Yeah. So posed a question on our Facebook page. Our man George said, yes, letting him get signed by the Chiefs when he wanted to stay here originally was a total brain dead move from the previous administration. He added the Green Bay Packers as well. Sex, Travel, Sports, Food podcast said, nah, leave that man's career alone. Y'all
say
know
that name again?
Yeah, he has a podcast. My man Cornelius. Sex, Travel, Sports, Food podcast.
Interesting podcast. I have to check that
out. You got to check it out. My man's a wild dude. He said, nah, leave that man's career alone. Y'all know the Skins ruin careers. Well, I can't argue that. Look at Preston. Preston's much better since he left the Skins.
That is true.
Right? Tony Levin said, now that Allen is gone, a few players should try to come back and let go, and some that are still here should be gone, like Bree, and he can tackle unlike Dunbar. Dunny's good, man. Like, he's tough in terms of covering. He's one of the better quarterback. Yeah, Dunny, that's a nickname, Dunny.
Yeah, you really have to stop acting like you are.
You know about that life, cuz? Hey, look, man. Do you know? Wait, what do you call me, man?
Media guy.
Yeah, there you go, bro. And my man Chris Johnson said, "Nah, keep moving forward." When he was here, you couldn't get him to play with any consistency. Fear of being out of a job pushed him. Let him keep moving. I mean, I think the coaching staff played a part into Breland here. You know what I mean? And same thing for and Donna mentioned Josh Norman. I think they played a part of making Josh Norman look as bad as he did here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying Josh Norman didn't lose a step, but I feel like you put him in a different situation. Josh Norman's a better cornerback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's funny, people crap on players here, like, well, because they're slipping, but they never put in context that the defensive coaching staff could have played a part in that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, come on. Now, I know you watch tape and you could tell that he's lost a step, but how, as a coaching staff, you put that player in the best situation to be successful and not put him on an island. So it is what it is. All right. Wizards 4, Davis Bertans was on fire during the NBA 3-point contest. We'll talk about the potential of Bertans after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Washington Wizards forward
Davis Bertans put on a show during the three-point contest during NBA All-Star Weekend. He made it to the finals and failed to Sacramento Kings guard Buddy Hield. What's the potential of Davis Bertans, and should he be a key piece for the Washington Wizards?
Definitely a guy who you going forward is, you know, he's not going to be a, you know, your third or fourth best player. He's not going to be like your second or third best player on your team, but he's definitely a guy who will play a role in a winning team. You know, everyone's talking about a stretch four, you know, but he's a stretch four slash five. You know, he can create matchup problems for you, especially in the pick and roll against most power forwards and centers that are in the game today. His three-point shooting is something we haven't seen from a four in Washington in a long time. So, you know, and then you add John Wall. If John Wall, when John Wall comes back healthy next year, a guy who can essentially beat anyone with speed to the lane and ability to drive and kick, things are starting to look pretty. It's some upside here in D.C. next year, too.
No, I think so. I agree with you. I think that when you're looking at this team with Bertans, John Wall, obviously, you know, John Wall made Trevor Ariza look really – I mean, Trevor Ariza was a solid player, not taking anything away from Trevor Ariza, but John Wall made it much easier for folks like Trevor Ariza to shoot the three ball. And if you have a player like a Bertans, huh?
So this is the thing, though, but you got to side Bertans.
You got what I'm saying? Actually. Yes, I'm saying. He's a free agent, though.
Yeah, he's a free agent.
He's a free agent. So,
is he a restricted free agent? Or?
I don't know. See, that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure. But I would definitely pay him. I mean, everybody in the league is overpaid. You know what I mean? And you have an opportunity to keep a nucleus together.
Yeah, everyone's in the league's overpaid. But without Bertans on the roster, just going into next year with just with John Wall, Bradley Beal, Thomas Bryant, Ish Smith, Roy Hachimura, Jerome Robinson, Troy Brown, Mo Wagner, Isaac Bogner, and Schofield.
Yeah.
Admiral Schofield, you're still at $100 million plus.
Yeah.
You know, so do you want to go over? I don't know what the cap is going to be for next year, but do you want to go over the cap by signing Bertans?
Depends on who you can bring in here. You know what I'm saying? Like, who would be willing to come to D.C.? That's what I mean. Would you get a better option than Bertans? You know what I'm saying? Like, for some strange reason, this hasn't been the best destination, right? People have spurred the Wizards.
I think that had to do more with the guy who was on, not the guy all the way at the top, but one level down, the former president of basketball, Ernie.
Yeah. So it's just
whose name we won't say that name.
Hey, listeners, feel free to call in the number 301-799-5407. Do you think Davis Bertans is a key piece for the Washington Wizards?
He's a contributor, man. He's definitely.
I actually think, man, like from what I watch, he's got a mean streak. He knocks a three ball. He'll finish on you. He's not scared as we saw him get into it with Markieff Morris. Like, he's not scared of anybody. He's like a baller.
I mean, but this is the NBA. No one's punching anyone.
We know that, but at least he's not scared. He's showing you that he has no fear. Some people just don't even make eye contact. He was calling Markieff Morris a very strong female dog type of word.
Well, yeah. This is the NBA. No one really. No, I'm with
you. No, they don't.
Nowadays.
And, no, they're protected. It's almost like, you know, an organized league when people, you know, mouth off and they know they're protected. I've been in one like that recently. In the Facebook group, Wizards Nation posted the same question about Davis Bertans. Ryan Adams said yes. Wall, Bill, Bertans, Hachimura, Wagner, and Bryant. And some other true center. Junior Morrison said there's really not much left out there for true centers. Got to fill the cap space, fill the position, and hope they have the knowledge and skill set to play the position. True center would have to come from another league country, but I like your starting five. He likes the starting five that was mentioned recently. John David Hugo said for sure a key piece. And my man Robert De La Cruz said not for $20 million a year. So I think almost similar to what you were saying earlier about not, you know, I wouldn't, you know, give him the bag, you know what I'm saying, or overpay.
Yeah, look, is he a guy that you pay 10, in today's NBA, 10, 12 million to? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to pay, if you want something absurd, I'm not going to say absurd.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want something that, you feel is outside of the budget that you have established for a player of his potential and of his talent, mm-hmm. you got to let him go.
But did you like how he's putting that work in the three-point contest?
Absolutely. Look, I've been pleasantly surprised with his play mm-hmm. since he's been getting the minutes mm-hmm. in this season. You know, him and Mo Wagner. Yeah, I've been pleasantly surprised by both of their play.
I have too. I mean, I was, you know, I actually had him winning the 3-point contest. I thought he would win it. Booker's a beast, though. So is Buddy Hill. No one thought Buddy Hill was going to win, but he did his thing. I mean, we know he's a good shooter, but no one really thought Buddy Hill was going to win.
I thought Devin Booker.
That was my first. I
would have said Devin.
Yeah, Devin was my first. Bertans was my, he was my dark horse because you watch him play here and the dude has limitless range and he has a nice stroke and like, the way he shoots the basketball, it's a beautiful thing.
Effortless.
It's really effortless. And he can go on a tear where like hand in his face, like, and he is unconscious. I mean, he is hitting this thing like 3-4 in a row. So I thought like, you know, obviously no hands in the face in rhythm. And they had that, like that stretch, that long 3-point range now where it's like 3 points. I was like, oh, dude about to, you know, this is a Duke about to put in real work because that deep three, that's natural for him. Like, he comes off the curl and shoots them things.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, I thought he had a good opportunity to win it. But, yeah, if I'm the Wizards, man, I really would think about making him a key piece because just the idea of having him with John Wall, I think it would work, man. I really do. I think John Wall and him would be, like, that would be good chemistry. That's uh-huh. something that can really, really work. Hold on, I had a piece. All right, man, we're going to talk about NBA All-Star Weekend. The festivities, everything. Dunk contest. Yeah, the dunk contest. Travesty, man. Travesty. Anyway, you listen to Urban Sports saying.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
All right, I'm not mad at that. Partial or impartial judge? Do you count the miss, D-Wade? Do you count the miss?
Yes.
Oh, you take off on a miss?
I personally penalize for misses. I'm
okay,
sorry.
What have you been? 0.3?
Oh, that's nice, though.
Kenny. That is nice, though.
Kenny, that is nice,
man.
I'm sorry. He need that.
No, that's a nine.
That should be nine. Those are all nines right there. That should be all nines.
Look at Common. Oh, I caught Common. I got it.
See, now we're.
Those are nines. Because Pat was a baseball player. Let's go, Pat. Oh, okay. See, I like that in the day, Kevin, when you could get 0.5s. Because that's an 8.5.
I need to see it.
That's a nice one.
And he's got the National League MVP from 2018, Yelich, with the Brewers.
That's
who goes to a lot
board.
Of Bucks games.
To me, that's nine across the board because he didn't miss it.
Yeah, that's an 8.
That's nine across the board, Kenny.
Come on, Giannis. You dunk harder than that. I give him an 8.
Nine across the board.
8. I'm with D-Wade on
1-8. Everyone if they go 9, they're 10.
I'm not mad at that.
And listen,
ladies and gentlemen, is a 10.
But I'm not penalizing him for missing that first one.
Come on, man. And backwards. Oh, yeah. Between the legs, backwards. Come on, man.
That's a 10.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy's out, man. That's you heard the dunk contest. That was when it was airing on TNT. That's Kenny's, you know, Kenny the Jet Smith, Reggie Miller, and you know, and company. The NBA All-Star Weekend seemed to be a success, like Will mentioned during the pregame. The tributes to Kobe Bryant and David Stern were well done. I think we both can agree on that. Did you?
Appreciate absolutely, okay. Yeah.
And the festivities, like Will said earlier, they were lit, man. From
All-Star
top to bottom.
Saturday night was the best.
Mm-hmm.
Even the sophomore rookie game.
Oh yeah, and to see like Zion and Ja play together because you know they played in South Carolina together with the AAU squad. Like to see them two like hook up with the lobs. Oh man, it was magic.
See Trae Young versus Luka.
Yeah, great storylines, man.
It was mm-hmm. from that and then to Saturday the skills contest. If you had asked anyone, do you think Bam Adebayo would have won it?
Yeah, Ray and Will's dude.
I didn't think he would win.
No, not at all.
I didn't think he would win.
The way it was like, man, you know, Spo's been holding him back. He was, I mean, the three?
I mean, I didn't think he had that level. I know he has skills, right? Because obviously he made the All-Star team. You know, anyone who's watched basketball this year has seen his progression and seen how well
that's hard work, man.
He's played in Miami this year.
That's hard work.
But, you know, that level of skill, I didn't think he had that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we just discussed the three-point contest with, you know, Devin Booker and
Buddy.
Devin Booker and Buddy Hield. Then the slam dunk contest, what might be the greatest travesty we've seen in the history of the All-Star.
I'm serious.
At a slam
dunk terrible.
Contest.
Like, think about it, man. Aaron Gordon had nothing but 50 dunks, dog. Nothing. Jones had, I think his first dunk was 46. It was said there 46, right? Aaron Gordon had, all he did was 50s. His last dunk was really a 50, all right?
Like, I mean, it,
or close enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, no, I get it because I think one thing that people are, you know, they're discounting. Okay, Taco Fulton is 7'6".
Yeah.
Okay, some people say he didn't necessarily clear him and Taco bent his head down.
He cleared 7'4".
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was just about to say. He cleared 7'4", 7'2".
Yeah, like, stop
like,
it.
Come on, let's be real
here. What did Vince do? Yeah, we've all been talking in the Olympics. What did Vince do?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, "Oh, it's the best dunk ever. That's an in-game dunk." What do you think? This is an awesome dunk. And he did off the first dunk.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he had to do two dunks to
exactly.
do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all, it's too much.
But the best dunk of the whole night had to be when Aaron Gordon caught it off the
one,
side
bro,
of
all
the
in
rim.
One. All one hand.
All one-handed.
Oh, that's
like that is video game.
I want to say the same thing.
That is something you used to see on, like, NBA Jam back in the day, man. That's something you don't see
you
in
don't
real
see
life.
It, man. You will never see that type of dunk
might
again.
In the history of the All-Star and the slam dunk contest, this might be the greatest robbery ever.
For real. And think about it. An all-dunk contest, right? We're going to simplify it this way. Usually, the dude with the best dunk wins the dunk contest. Like, the best dunk. Like, when you, like, say, you highlight the dunk. Like, you highlight the highlighted dunk. Like, the wild dunk. They typically win the dunk contest.
Yeah. And don't, like, Derrick Jones Jr. has some great dunks.
Yeah, exactly.
But a number of those dunks were similar to ones he did previously
night. Through the legs.
There's
different variations to through the legs dunks.
There's different variations.
Exactly.
Aaron Gordon came with original.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you should reward him that W. That's why Dwayne Wade's like last, you know, that giving him.
Well, see, this is the thing I didn't understand about Dwayne Wade being on the panel. There's a conflict of interest.
It is, bro.
Dwayne Wade is a Heat for life.
Yeah, through and through. Did you not see the comments he was making, the gestures he was making to Jones? Come on now.
He clearly had a bias.
That wasn't fair.
And
man.
I understand, you know, back in Chicago, Dwayne Wade's from Chicago. Yeah. I get it. I understand it. But him and probably Common or Chadwick Boseman should have been replaced with Dominique and
All
Dr.
Right,
J.
So we can keep this a buck. If you can't dunk like that, you shouldn't be in a dunk contest. If you ain't a dunker, you shouldn't be judging the dunk contest. Like, I'm not. I love me some Candace Parker, man. Like, I love Candace Parker. I love her a lot. Like, a lot. I know she's Chicago too. I get it. But when it comes to a dunk contest, I don't think it's important. Like, you gotta have like.
So I'll push back on the Candace Parker.
Yeah. But she is a dunker. She's dunked.
She's part of the media.
No, she is.
Right?
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, I believe her to have a certain level of unbiasedness when she.
That's true. I'll take that
when
back.
When she's judging a dunk contest.
That's fair.
But
I'm not having Common and Wakanda. I'm not doing that.
Chadwick Boseman and Common.
No.
You can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
You
got to. Like, you got to have.
That.
Like, I'm cool having Dr. J, Dominique Wilkins, because they take it serious. It's their craft.
Exactly.
They take it serious. I'm like, okay.
To me, there's no reason that Dr. J, as long as they're alive, kicking, and willing and able, there's no reason why Dominique Wilkins and Dr. J should not be judging slam dunk contests.
And I believe to my core, if Dr. J was judging it, I think Jones wouldn't have been rewarded for doing the same dunk over and over again.
Absolutely.
I've seen Dr. J judge, and he's not an easy judge.
No, it's not. It's hard to impress him.
Yeah, it's hard to impress him. If you're doing the same dunk a different way, he's going to be like, nah, I'm not.
I'll even go a step further because he's part of the telecast. I think Kenny Smith should be one of the guys that should be judging the dunk contest because he participated in the dunk contest preseason.
Yeah, he should. I think they should.
I think Kenny
Smith is a fair judge.
Yeah, I think he's impartial. Judge. I think he's fair. I think Kenny Smith should be one of the guys who should be on that panel.
And actually, to be honest with you, he's a tough judge. Like I mentioned, Pat Connaughton, his dunk. Kenny Smith was like, it's an 8. I thought it was a 9. He's a tough judge.
Yeah,
he's a tough judge. I just didn't like that. I didn't like the Dwayne Wade thing. That really pissed me off. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah, I mean that. If I had one complaint about All Star Weekend, that's the only complaint I had.
So your thought? You know, Team LeBron defeated Team Giannis. Were you a fan of the new format?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Put a lot of competition in that last quarter, right?
That last quarter, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, you had to get to 157, and you know, it was a determined point total. It's like being on a schoolyard.
Yeah, it is.
You know, first to 16 win. If exactly. You know, if it's 15-15, win by two.
Win by two. They ain't win by two though.
They didn't.
They should have though. I would change that. Win by two.
And I don't think you should be able to win by a free throw.
Yes, I'm saying win by two.
Yeah.
You win by two. If you gonna win by two.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Any which way, like it shouldn't have been the one. Like AD messed up by missing the one. It shouldn't have rewarded him. You know what I mean? It should have been like win by two. I like the format. I'm not cool with the I guess they gotta find a better way of doing it. Maybe they should just find an end score at the like throughout the whole game. Say are the first to 150 or something, you know what I mean, or something like that, right? At this time, the first to 150, right? Because I mean, the NBA All Star Game is scoring long anyway. Let's be real, like the first to 150. Because I don't like how it's just like a new quarter every quarter. I get it. It made it cool.
I like that. Okay. Yeah, because it put a level of competition. Because once you get to that fourth quarter, pride is on the line. Yeah. All right, I don't want to lose this.
Gotcha.
So we are gonna come out here.
Because the fourth quarter is always serious anyway. I get your thought process because the fourth quarter is the most serious quarter anyway in all All-Star games.
Kyle Lowry took two charges. Who takes a charge during the All-Star game?
Man, he flops too much. He flopped enough.
I mean, you can say he flopped, whatever, man. But what player typically is going to put his body in the way?
I will say the game would have been over in the fourth quarter if LeBron wasn't trying to be like LeBron and just gave the ball to Kawhi because Kawhi, they had no answer for Kawhi. I just thought in that All-Star game, you can always kind of say, like, you know what, LeBron, you might as well just give Kawhi the torch because it's like Kawhi is just that dude right now. Because literally, like, Kawhi got to any place he wanted to when they did play defense. When they didn't play defense, he was stroking the three ball. It just seemed like right now Kawhi, right, in that All-Star game, he was the best. He was obviously the best player. He was All-Star MVP, but it was, like, obvious. Between him and – I mean, Giannis was great too, but Giannis was different. Like, Giannis – it's an exhibition, so Giannis was – like just going to the basket, dunking, and you know they're not playing defense in that aspect. But Kawhi, he got his buckets, but by not really trying.
Just in the flow.
Yeah, you know what I mean. It wasn't like trying. Yeah. You know, we've all watched All Star games, and people are head hunting for All Star MVP.
Yeah.
Like Kawhi wasn't head hunting for All Star MVP. No,
he was just getting his buckets in the flow,
you know
of the
what
game.
Saying? So. I mean, but I'm with you. I think they have something there. I mean, I would like for them to add like King of the Hill and All Star Weekend going one on one. I think that's the
same thing.
They'll
never do that.
I just think that would make it
like to your point. That would make it something special.
I think you could possibly get the younger guys to do that, but getting the All Stars to play that way, I don't think that'll happen.
I know they're cowards. All right. Will wants to talk about this. We know what it is. Fury Wilder 2 goes down Saturday. Johnny Sig from Leave It in the Ring Radio will join us after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Zone.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, Eddie Cooje with a triumphant comeback. Morris. But tonight. Don't call it a comeback.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole. Will T. Ray Jeezy is out. Wouldn't it be awesome if Deontay Wilder came out to this song? It's from LL Cool J. I'm going to knock you out.
Yeah, man. Look.
Mama said knock you out.
I'm just looking forward to an amazing fight Saturday night, right? Mm-hmm. This is probably the biggest heavyweight championship fight we've seen since, I don't know, Tyson Lewis?
Yeah, it definitely is. Let me cue our guest in, though. Right now, we have Johnny Sig from Leave It in the Ring Radio on the line. What's up, Johnny, and welcome to the Urban Sports Scene.
Hey, guys, thank you for having me on. Man, I am fired up about this fight. What about you guys? This is a big one here.
Yeah, we're fired up.
I'm fired up, definitely. Too, man. I'm definitely fired up.
Yeah,
I'm
this excited.
Is it. This is a huge weekend for boxing this Saturday.
And Will, you were saying this is like the biggest heavyweight fight since when to you?
Since Tyson Lewis.
Tyson Lewis. You agree with that, Johnny? Tyson Lewis, the biggest heavyweight fight since Tyson Lewis.
I'm going to agree. And what makes it really interesting to me is that these guys are freaks of nature. You see Wilder, man. He's tall, but he's a small head, but super powerful. Then you got Fury, who's big and oddly athletic, but those guys complement each other so well. I'm looking forward to this, the contrast of styles, and regardless of whatever happened in the first fight, whether someone thinks that Fury won or Wilder should have deservedly got a knockout, and, you know, it's just so compelling. And I think this rematch is definitely going to deliver, and I love all the promotion that's out there. All the hype that this fight's getting. So, yes, I will agree with you guys there. It is one of the biggest heavyweight fights in a long time.
And before we get to Wilder Fury in detail, let our listeners know about your podcast.
Oh, yeah, I'm on the Leave It in the Ring Radio Network. We got a lot of great shows on there. They picked me up in about October. I appreciate you asking me about that. And I drop about a show or two a week and just pretty much go out there and talk about boxing, some mixed martial arts, other sports. And my passions like music and, you know, movies and just whatever I really feel on that day. And it's a great radio network. And I encourage you guys to listen to not only my show, but everyone else's show on the network.
And folks can subscribe to this on iTunes, Google Play, all that good stuff. Podcasts are being sold or listen to it free.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely everywhere, brother. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. So, all right. Let's get to it. Who has the advantage to you in the rematch?
When you have the explosive power, in my opinion, that Wilder possesses, he's always going to be in a fight. And we've seen that prior to the first fight with Fury, and we've seen it post-mortem that fight. Like, he's more patient now. He's more collected, even though he got Brazil out in round one in one of the most electrifying knockouts I've seen in a long time. So, I mean, to answer your question, I mean, I got to favor Wilder here because of that explosiveness and what he's done in the calendar year that was 2019. When have you seen a fighter since like a Mike Tyson get two knockout of the year candidates in the same year? Now, Fury's great, with what he does, and he moves around the ring really well. But I think Wilder's hipper now. As we saw Wilder get better in the first fight down the stretch, he dropped Fury in the ninth round. And then he ultimately dropped him heavily in the 12th round. And all credit in the world to Fury for getting up in that 12th round. But we saw him adapting. We saw him get better. And I also saw that in the Ortiz rematch, where he was just being a little bit more patient, understanding what's in front of him. It didn't really look like he ever got hurt by Ortiz, but then all of a sudden exploded with a straight shot. And he could hurt you from the looping shot and the straight shot. And I think Wilder is a better boxer than a lot of people give him credit for. I got to lean towards Wilder. I think it's going to be an interesting fight, and I think we get an explosive knockout.
Johnny, let me ask you a question. Do you think we see round 13 of the first fight, or do we come out, or do you think these guys approach it kind of filling each other out, and it's kind of like round one of the second fight? So what do you think? You think we see action from the get-go, or do you see where these two fighters come out filling each other out, trying to establish their reach and establish positioning within the ring?
That's a great question. I think that Fury is going to try to do what he's been saying, even though he's a talker. One day he'll say one thing and then do another. But I think he's going to try to press, Deontay this time a little bit more. And I think it'd be wise for Deontay to create a little space, just take some time and assess, what's in front of you and just set up a jab. Because, Wilder's got a really good jab. Mm-hmm. And he comes from, the Mark Breland fraternity of, learning how to box, and shoot a great jab. And we've seen him do it with the Burns to Burn fight. I'm going to repeat myself with this one, is that Wilder does not get enough credit for being a good boxer because he goes in with so much passion and intensity, and I like that about him. That's why he's one of my favorite fighters to watch. Mm. He does overcommit his shots, but if he just relaxes and kind of gets a hybrid between, you know, the destroyer, you know, the bomb squad guy versus, you know, the capable boxer that he is, if he puts a hybrid in between the two, I think that, you know, he just kind of sits there, downloads what Tyson Fury's doing, waits it out, you know, is a little bit patient, maybe jabs to the chest, maybe just hit on Fury, any target he can, not overcommit his shot, put a 1-2 together and get him out of there. So I think you're going to see Fury kind of like nervously try to press the issue, and I think Deontay is going to take his time a little bit.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We are chatting with Johnny Sigg from Leaving in the Ring Radio. So, Johnny, do you see Fury being willing to mix it up with Wilder early in this fight?
I think he's going to try. He's going to try to get some respect. And I think he also wants to try to convince the audience that, you know, he's okay from the last fight, because let's not forget that in the last fight, Fury suffered some significant damage on his right eye. And he was really hurt by someone that nobody knew going into the fight, and Otto Wallin. And the only reason why I can remember that name is how good Otto Wallin looked in the 12th round of that fight and rocked Tyson Fury. So I think he's got something to prove. I think he's trying to, like, just get himself up for this fight in Fury. I don't know if it's the same inspirational story that it was the first time going in. I think Fury's a little bit more complacent. We'll see what we get. But whenever I think about Deontay Wilder outside of power, that's the first word that comes to mind. I think about passion. I think Wilder really cares.
Johnny, I have a question about the business end of this fight. Obviously, you know, this is a fight that's PBC, so it's been cross-promoted by Fox and ESPN. Do you think that with this being cross-promoted by both of these stations, that this will be one of the highly viewed pay-per-view heavyweight fights ever?
If you look at all the promotion they did during the Super Bowl, and I'm so proud of my sport for finally doing the right thing, you know, cross-branding, coming together in a promotion, and, you know, using the Super Bowl as a platform, and WWE, which is also on Fox, and whatever programs are on ESPN, I think this will be a big one. And the fact that Fury was on the WWE, and Deontay Wilder is just such an engaging, you know, personality, and I think people are starting to get it. And plus, all those knockouts he put together, I mentioned in 2019, I mean, I had people call me up that don't even follow boxing and be like, dude, this Wilder guy is explosive. I'm like, yeah. It's ridiculous. Next to Ernie Shavers and George Foreman, I mean, dude, that power is insane. He's got a 95% KO percentage. Man.
No, he's special. I mean, he's lights out power. To me, like, who would you say is him or Tyson in terms of, like, the hardest hitting heavyweight?
I would definitely say Deontay Wilder. Here's why, because Mike Tyson had to be close to hit you. Deontay Wilder, with his reach, even if he's not in, you know, like not striking close, not in striking range, if he glances you with one of those hooks, there's still a chance that you'll go down like a ton of bricks.
Johnny, you agree?
Yeah, I gotta say, you know, Mike Tyson is definitely one of my favorite teams. I'll tell you why. With the power category, is that the body and head, the way he would hurt you to the body and then just take out your head, psychologically too, it's just damaging. Aside from what you feel wise, George Foreman, Ernie Shavers, who I've met, you know, and these guys are obviously, you know, all bigger men. At lower weight classes too, we saw some guys that really knew how to deliver a great body shot, like Chavez back in the day. Smaller guy, but he knew how to hurt you.
So true. Hey, so Johnny, give us your in-ring prediction in terms of what round this lasts. Obviously, it looks like you have Wilder. Which round?
Wilder for sure. I'm going with Wilder under 8 rounds. I think it's going to be a good fight. I think we'll see both guys look good on both sides, but I think ultimately Wilder's going to land the bomb.
Will T, what you got?
I'm sorry, buddy.
Oh no, Tom. Will trying to get his prediction. Everybody on the panel.
I think Wilder 10th round knockout.
Wilder 10th round. It's hard. This fight's hard for me because you have the puncher and the boxer, right? And I just feel my mind is saying Fury, but I just feel like Wilder can just get him out of there. Because I had Wilder the first time. I want to say this.
Don't underestimate the level of competition that Deontay Wilder has had since their first fight versus the level of competition Tyson Fury has had.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. I'm going to be the oddball. I'm going to say Fury by decision.
You know, I don't totally disagree. Like, I could see him doing it. He's a very clever boxer. And I think that his cleverness is what threw off Wilder the first time. Mm-hmm. But I think Wilder's going to be hit to it this time. Anything could happen. These are big boys, man.
Yeah, it is.
And Wilder definitely got hurt, mm-hmm. you know, down the stretch in that fight. And that's what makes it so compelling.
Yeah, it is.
And I want to see the adjustments. And I think adjustments will be the key to the rematch. But I just love that power from Deontay Wilder, man.
It's special, man. It's really special power. It is. Hey, Johnny, before I let you go, let our listeners know about your podcast and when you air, you know, and how they can, you know, how they can download and subscribe.
You can check us out on all the major platforms, iTunes, Audio Boom, Podbean. We're everywhere. There's a lot of different shows out there. I tend to do about 2 per week, sometimes 3, if I'm feeling cute and want to hit the mic a little extra. And I appreciate you guys. Having me on, man. You guys put together a great show, very well organized, and you guys play your stuff.
Hey, Johnny, thank you so much. We're going to have you on again, man.
Thank you, Johnny.
Anytime. All right, anytime. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye. Yep.
All right, that is Johnny Sigg from Leave It in the Ring Radio. Make sure you check out his podcast. Subscribe to it on iTunes, Google Play. All that good stuff of podcasts are being heard. Johnny's cool, man. Cool peoples, man. I met him on Twitter. We were talking boxing. Said I had to have him on my show. And, you know, He did it. And I love his enthusiasm, his energy about boxing.
Absolutely.
It's genuine, it's real.
It's genuine, it's real. Mm-hmm. We need more people like that when it comes to discussing boxing.
Yeah, real talk. All right. But to end the show, but subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Hey, thank you all for listening. Keep listening to us. Keep appreciating us, because I think we are being appreciated, and also keep showing us the love. But anyway, we gotta knock this show out. But you've been listening to The Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.